Well, as I understand, your worship planning team or committee had chosen the songs of ascent as a theme for Lent. So I assume you've been moving through these different songs, the different psalms, all 15 of them. Maybe you haven't covered them all during the time of Lent, but chosen some of the songs that Israel would chant and sing as they journeyed from their homes up the roads to Jerusalem. Songs of ascent, traveling songs. Even this morning, as we traveled here, we thought, what should we put in the CD player in the car? What should we listen to? And when you drive from Woodstock to Essex, you have a chance to play several CDs or listen to one several times. We chose the latter. We listened to a CD that I'm quite familiar with. My wife hasn't heard it as often, by John Foreman, the lead singer of a band called Switchfoot, and some beautiful songs in there. So we circled through that CD, I think, about three times. We'll find something else for the way home if we don't drive home with silence on the radio. But it's quite normal for us to go on trips or to remember trips that we've been on based on the songs that we remember playing, like when we drove out east, or you go to Newfoundland, or you drive to Algonquin Park, and somehow you hear a song, and it reminds you of a time that you've been traveling. And these are the songs that Israel placed in their songbook that were important for them to help them focus their hearts in different ways. Part of the impetus for the series that came through Reformed Worship is a book written by Eugene Peterson a long time ago called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And my word today to focus on was obedience. And I wasn't sure about writing a new sermon for you this week, but then I thought, since the word is obedience, I better do it, you know. That's my word, and I also chose that sort of as a theme then for the service. A long obedience, Jesus' ascent to Jerusalem. How important then, I thought, what a nice tie-in to look at a psalm of ascent on the very day that Jesus makes his ascent into Jerusalem. Our first verse said in Luke chapter 19, there, verse 28, said, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. How meaningful, as Jesus makes his ascent, that we sing to him our song of ascent, Hosanna, today. And as I was driving here this morning and thinking of the message and thinking of a couple of our own children who are preparing to do young driver's education, we have three children that you don't see here with us today. One because she's studying in Ottawa, political science there in her first year. She's gone back to be where I pastored for 12 years in Ottawa. I took my first call there, and I'm in my second call now in Woodstock, where I've been for about 7 years. She, and then there's two sons who are 16 and 13, and the 16-year-old is looking forward to driver's ed soon. And once in a while, I'll tell him now as I drive him to school in the morning, just some of the tips and tricks that I remember. But one that came to me as I was preparing for this message, particularly reflecting on what Eugene Peterson wrote about Psalm 132 and just on the psalm itself, I was thinking about how often my driver instructor would often tell me to look in the rearview mirror. I took young drivers, and they would say, the rearview mirror, you should be looking at it every 4 to 5 seconds. And I thought, wow, that's a lot to be looking in your rearview mirror. Because things can change so quickly on the road, you always want to remember what is behind you or know what is behind you. And of course, as you're looking ahead, he would say, don't just look right in front of the vehicle, but actually look further down the road. So if the road is turning and you're looking right in front of the car, then all of a sudden that curve is going to come up on you very quick, or a stoplight. You're always looking quite a bit far down the road, and your brain usually will figure out what's right in front of the vehicle as you go. So there was always sort of this long looking ahead, far into the distance, and then also a checking of the rearview mirror. And something we learned in young drivers was also to talk quite a bit while we drove. Talk because he wanted to know, the driver instructor wanted to know what we were seeing, what we were thinking, to notice what might be ahead of us. If there was a car about to turn or coming up to a stop sign on the left, he just wanted us to mention that so that he would know when we saw that happening. Or if there's someone walking with a cat, we would say that too. Always looking ahead, looking behind, and saying what you saw as you went along. I think the psalm we're looking at today is a little bit like that too. There's certainly a looking back in the rear view mirror Where have we been? Who has been here before? I'm not the first person to travel on this road. What is behind me on this journey of faith? Always looking into the rearview mirror, never forgetting what's behind you. But also then a casting forward of a glance of what's to come, of what's ahead on the journey of faith, of what God has promised us that is going to happen. And so looking in your rearview mirror, looking ahead, but being in the moment and saying what you see as you go along, recalling the things that God has done in the past, praising God for the things he's going to do in the future, but all the time being in the present, saying what you see, being present to God's presence in your life right now. Young drivers taught us to obey the rules of the road. It taught us to be obedient to the rules of the road. It's one of those places where when you learn to drive, you realize that obedience is very necessary. If you've ever struggled with your parents in obedience, when you take young drivers, you suddenly realize if you're not obedient on the road, you can get into big trouble. If the other drivers, you suddenly realize, aren't obedient on the road, if they're crossing the line or turning in front of you, your life is going to be in big trouble. And suddenly obedience takes on a new idea and framework for us. I know that was true for me, and I really depended on someone sitting beside me who'd been there before, who knew the rules of the road, and who could sit beside me in my anxiety and tell me and guide me to see what I might be missing, and to see what I might be forgetting that's in the past and behind me, and also just to be able to say it and verbalize it as I go. And the psalmist is kind of teaching us the rules of the road of faith. This is what you need to see as you journey on the road of faith. This is what you need to remember as you walk along and make your own ascent to Jerusalem, because the road to Jerusalem was a pilgrimage made together by many people. Some people would only make it once every few years. Some people would go 3 times a year for various festivals and would be singing these songs all the time. Depended sometimes what livelihood you had or how if you could afford to make that journey or not, or if you were well enough even to make the journey. Pilgrimage was an opportunity to look inside your heart and to look at those around you and to realize that life is a journey. And on this Palm Sunday, as we think about Jesus coming up, ascending into Jerusalem, the Jews would have thought of his own pilgrimage to Jerusalem and what it meant. We see the triumphal entry, all the expectation, the hosannas and the songs that are being sung. Ironically, they're singing the word save when they sing the word hosanna. It means Lord, save. It means save us. And they did not realize how badly they were in need of saving, but the same is true for us. Today on Palm Sunday, we learn the rules of the road, and we see that Jesus, at the same time as receiving the hosannas, the praise of those around him, and also is weeping over Jerusalem because they're not seeing something so important. They've been blinded to maybe the most important thing of all, the kind of Messiah he was, the kind of kingdom he was bringing. Well, Jesus' ascent is a pilgrimage. He arrives in Jerusalem for the Passover on a pilgrim Sunday, along with many other people of Israel coming up for the Passover as well. Many pilgrims joining him on the road, lining the streets, excited about his arrival and their own arrival. And that's partly why I wanted to read Psalm 84 at the beginning of the service as well. For the pilgrims who came, they would see the temple and say, "How lovely is your dwelling, O Lord God Almighty." They would see the birds that fly through Essex, I'm sure, from Peely north here, those swallows and sparrows, those little birds, those warblers. And they would, in Psalmist, saw the swallow finding a nest and saying, "Wow, here I am in Jerusalem, walking in the courts of the temple, and even the swallow has a home right in God's own house. What a lucky bird he is." But Peterson, Eugene Peterson, in his book says the life of faith is a long obedience in the same direction. It's putting one foot after another. It's when you see those big hills up ahead and you're not sure you can make it through those mountain passes. When those steps get long and your legs get weak, you realize that life of faith is that long obedience in the same direction. There's no turning back. It's a way forward as you move together with the people of faith. Well, if we looked at Psalm 132 a little more closely, we'd see what that looking back and looking forward is all about. We'd see in the first half, verses 1 through 9, we see that it's really the psalmist is recalling the life of faith of David And especially that one story that takes place when David said in his heart, I cannot let the ark of God, the symbol of God's presence with his people, remain sitting out in a field or in Abinadab's home where it needs to be moved from where it was left when the Philistines returned it. It needs to be moved into the city of God. It needs to be brought to Zion. And so the psalmist is recalling David, his self-denial, the oath that he swore to the Lord that he would find a home for the ark and that he would bring it to Jerusalem. And as the pilgrims are making this pilgrimage, they're singing this Psalm 132. They're remembering David. They're remembering the ark of the Lord that had always been with Israel since it was crafted under Moses, since it was brought across into the promised land by Joshua. And as it was lost in a war with the Philistines, as the Israelites said, why did we get beaten by the Philistines? We will carry the ark of God with us into war and we will take the Philistines down. The Philistines heard the roar in the Israelite camp as Israel was getting all excited about the ark being with them, thinking they had God in a box and were going to carry him into the war with them. And the Philistines said, The God of the Israelites is with them today. We need to really rise up and take them down. And it turns out the Philistines were victorious. And God let Israel suffer defeat on the battlefield that day because they believed they could just take God with them wherever they want, leave him behind when they wanted, and take him with it when they wanted. And God said, I will not be placed in a box. I cannot be contained. I am the God who goes with you. I am the God who is with you. This ark is simply a symbol of my covenant that I want you to revere and respect, but you cannot carry it into battle when you want to impose force on the enemy. You must take me with you in your heart and in your mind and in faith. So the Israelites will be remembering these stories of Moses and Joshua and David, of the importance of this ark, of the great failures of the leaders of the past to think they could contain God in that box. And then the oath that David swore, trying to right the wrongs of the past and bringing the ark to its rightful resting place in Jerusalem. And they might have recalled how David first went to get it, and then when they brought it, it slipped off the cart as they were carrying it. And Uzzah reached out and touched it, and the Lord in his anger killed Uzzah on the spot. And David was beside himself thinking, I'm doing such a good thing, that he ended up leaving the ark there for 3 more months and defeating the Philistines one more time before finally going back, taking the ark, and bringing it to Jerusalem. And so we see that those who've gone before us are walking the same faith life that we're walking. That life wasn't the kind of the good old days for them, that somehow in the past God was there for them in a way and they never had to struggle with faith and they never had their ups and downs. As the pilgrims sing Psalm 132, they say, yeah, we've certainly made a lot of mistakes along the way. We sometimes tried to use God for our own power, for our own benefit, but God never left us. He never abandoned us. Even though we let his ark sit out in a field, even though we let the Philistines capture it, God has never abandoned his people. All these memories come flooding to the pilgrims as they travel. And we realize that obedience has a history. I realize that as I stand that among you this morning, as I stand here with you this morning, realizing that this was a special place for my family in the past. It may not have been in this building. It might have been in the old pop shop where my mom was actually baptized and where maybe some of you were there as well and gave witness to that. And that other relatives of mine have passed through this very area of Ontario on their pilgrimage from Holland to a new land. And I realized that they were not perfect people either, but they were people of faith, and they were people who put one foot in front of the other on this pilgrimage of faith. And that as I come back here too, I realize in my life I'm not breaking new ground in a sense. In some way I am. I'm in a new place, in a new time, living my call where I'm supposed to be, but I'm walking in the same footsteps of faith as those who've gone before me. They had the same struggles. They had the same challenges. They had the same failures. They also had the same joys and victories along the way. I realize as I stand here today in Essex that we're rehearsing a story together, the story of the people of faith, and that sometimes we need to look back and recall our history, remember what Israel went through, the highs and the lows and the ups and the downs and the sins and the failures of our ancestors. so that we remember we're not the first ones here. If we look on the ground around us, we can almost see by faith the footsteps of those who've gone before. The cloud of witnesses now who've gone before us and are cheering us on. Obedience has a history, and as Eugene Peterson would say, it requires us to keep our feet on the ground. You're not so special in that sense that you're breaking new ground. God says, I've always gone ahead of you. I'm always leading the way, and I've brought a lot of people here before you. And you're just following in step. So be a pilgrim. Walk together with your community. And remember that this is our story together. Obedience has a history. And in an instant day of instant kind of gratification, instant knowledge, instant communication, we live in an instant society where we can turn on the TV or even just hold that little computer in our hand and very quickly find out the weather and the news and the sports and everything that's going on. It tells us everything we want right now, that many people get up in the morning and the only thing that matters to them is the now. There's nothing else. There's no history. There's no future. Just tell me what I need to do today. Just tell me what's happening right now. We talk about the fear of missing out, FOMO. We've got to be there. We've got to be at that party. We've got to see this because we're afraid to miss out on what's happening now. And the psalmist says, look back. Remember. Till the soil of what's gone on in the past and fertilize it and water it. And as Paul says, all the scriptures, everything that was written in the past are for your encouragement for your journey. So don't leave the past behind. Set your phone down. Turn off the TV. Open up the Word and remember where you came from. Go visit the places where you came from, your ancestors were, and see the pilgrimage of faith of those who've gone before. Maybe it's easy from what I'm saying to think that Psalm 132 would encourage us kind of to go back to the good old days and rehearse and just revisit the past and say, wasn't it great? Wasn't it great when we built this church? Wasn't it great when all the immigrants were here, and weren't those the best days ever? And they might have been. We probably all have a good old days, the years that we remember that were so special. And those are not to be forgotten. In fact, we just said we need to rehearse them and remember them. And even learn to tell our story as churches. How did God bring us here? What were those highs and what were those lows? But not to think that going forward means going backward. Going forward doesn't mean doing that again. Going forward means living out our lives with the same obedient faith, keeping our feet on the ground, one foot after another. That's how the life of faith is walked, as our ancestors did in the past. Psalm 132 doesn't require that. From verses 10 forward, verses 10 through 18, we see the psalmist saying, for the sake of your servant David, do not reject your anointed one. And the rest of the psalm focuses on what God is doing and what God is promising. First half of the psalm, everything David says, I will do this, and I will do that, and I will bring your ark. And we can see how it was actually hard for him to get it there. We remember him dancing in front of it as it came into Jerusalem, and as some people thought, maybe making a fool of himself doing that. But the second half of the psalm is more of that reality of that hope of faith, the hope of obedience. Maybe the first half is the hard work of obedience. The second part is what motivates us. It's the hope of obedience, that God is the one who is at work within us. Like Paul says, work out your faith with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. Work hard, but remember it's God working in you. The Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath he will not revoke. One of your descendants I will place on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant, this will be my resting place forever. I will sit enthroned here. I will bless her with abundant provisions. I will clothe her priests. I will feed the poor. I will make a horn grow for David and set up a lamp for my anointed one. One prayer after another, one promise that God makes. God keeps promising all these things. He says, I am the one who's going to keep my promises to David and to his descendants. I am going to keep a king on David's throne forever. I'm going to feed the pilgrims as I fed Israelites with manna and quail in the past. I'm going to dress the priests in splendor like you've never seen. The same priests that you see lead you in worship and give you a glorious picture of what worship of God is like. I am going to dress them. I'm going to fill my king with light and fill my house with light because of my anointed one. I'm going to fill the temple. And this morning, as the word was being read, we could almost, as the candle is burning here, a symbol of the Spirit, a symbol of the illumination of God's word, we know that the light that is here is the light of Christ. It's the light of God's word revealed to us today. And God says, I am going to make the crown of this king sparkle. And in the person of Jesus Christ, we see that crown sparkle. We see what that crown was meant to look like. We see the glory of the Son who came. We see Him revealed in truth and grace. We see even the glory veiled through the crown of thorns. That He wore that crown in glory because He was revealing the true humility and grace and the God who's rich in mercy. God is so rich in mercy that His crown was a crown of thorns. He was rich in mercy. Just when the Son of God was lifted up onto the cross, He was even lifted up in shame through the eyes of the world, but in glory in the eyes of people of faith. The second half of the psalm says, look forward. Don't just look in the rearview mirror at where you've been and where you've come from, but look forward. Look forward to all that God has promised you and believe those promises for yourself. Remember that God said, the people that I chose from before the foundation of the world, you are the ones I have redeemed and I have marked you with the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing what is to come. We find ourselves in the story of faith. We put our phone down, which tells us what's happening now. We look way back to what God has done in the past and the people who've walked the life of faith. We look forward to the future and say, God, you are the one who's made the promises, and that's why I'm walking forward. Because you've promised me glory, and you've promised me that the road must go forward. We must go ahead. We must journey toward our promised land to be with Jesus. And you think on that Palm Sunday how easy it must have been for anyone else to stop on that donkey and not go ahead. Jesus even makes plans to have a donkey carry him into Jerusalem when he could have seen Jerusalem and come over that hill and seen it and know this was the place of his death and say, let's just stay right here. Let's turn around. Let's not go there. But instead, the one who remembered all the people of faith who'd gone before him, he was now walking that journey to Jerusalem with them. But now it was time for him to walk ahead and show them there was a future. There is a journey of faith that must go on. And so Jesus sets his face toward Jerusalem and travels on. Obedience has a future. And we see it in the face of Jesus, who looks toward the cross and through the cross to eternity with God. And it requires sometimes of us leaps of faith. Eugene Peterson's words again, that obedience sometimes requires our feet just firmly on the ground, knowing we're not the first ones here. Keep plodding, one day at a time. Some of us are struggling with things so great. We know people struggling so great, and we just have to encourage them just by walking with them, keeping our feet on the ground with them. But at other times, we look forward and we realize it's time for us to jump. It's time for us to make this leap of faith. It's time for us to trust God, to surrender, to relinquish all of our power and say, God, not my will, but yours be done. And that is what Jesus said that week, with his face still turned toward the cross. Obedience has a future. And our lives are not even limited to our birth date and our death date, our beginning and end. They reach further back and reach further forward, all because of what God has done. We find ourselves in the context of a grand, grand story. So I don't know where you find yourself today in this journey of faith, but as you find yourself in Psalm 132, maybe you find yourself kind of between verses 9 and 10. Just put yourself right there today, looking back at the first 9 verses at all that God has done in your life to bring you here, and looking ahead to all the things that God's promised you, and saying, Lord, let my obedience reflect the truth that I am not the first one here, that there are many who've gone before me. I look back, like my young driver's instructor said, remembering what's behind me, remembering where I've come from, remembering I've made it this far, but also at the same time looking ahead at what is to come and saying, I am going with the Lord, and the Lord will not abandon me now. And as he has promised to be with me in the past, so he will promise to be with me in the future. And so Jesus travels, his feet solidly on the ground, receiving the worship of those around him, not telling them to be quiet, saying, you don't get it. He receives their worship. They're shouting to him as the Lord. And even when the Pharisees say, tell your disciples to be quiet, he says, if they don't sing, then the rocks will cry out. The very stones will cry out. All creation knows that I am Lord. But at the same time, Jesus is looking forward. His feet no longer on the ground. He's already being lifted up on a cross. He's already going further down into that journey of shame and disgrace and incarnation. For the glory set before him, he takes a leap of faith onto the cross. And the Lord, the Father in heaven, brings him home. We all have this journey in our lives as well. But thank the Lord, not a journey to a cross, but a journey that leads us through death, that will one day be a translation into glory. But this time we have on earth is our pilgrimage together, looking back, looking ahead, and remaining obedient to the one who said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in this Psalm 132, we see you teaching us the rules of the road, that there is a looking back and a looking ahead, and that there also is sort of a saying what we see. And so as we worship you today, we look back and we think about the ways in the past that you've brought us to where we are. And we think of those who've gone before us, ancestors, coaches, counselors, teachers, parents, who've shown us what obedience looks like, living one step after another, one foot at a time, each time a journey of faith. And we look ahead as well to the future, Lord, and we know for some of us the future does not look easy. We even think of this congregation today as we look ahead and realize that a potential minister declined a call here just yesterday. We wonder, Lord, and say, what is next for us? We wonder where you are. We find ourselves in Psalm 132 today on this Palm Sunday, and at one point we want to cheer, and at the other point we're discouraged at the same time. We find this tension within us, and then we discover that we are not alone. We are not the first ones here. We are not the first individuals to have this tension in our lives, nor are we the first church to have this challenge before us. And so, Lord, today, keep our feet on the ground. Help us not to run. Help us not, Lord, to just look at what's exciting around us and run from faith and run to what might grab our attention, but help us to look to the past and find that in our history there is more than enough to encourage us for the way ahead. Both the encouragement of the successes of those who've traveled, but also their failures and the grace and mercy they discovered in you. Keep our feet on the ground today, Lord. Help us not to run. At the same time, Lord, keep our heads up. Help us to look forward to the promises that you've made, the promise of a new heavens and a new earth, of a new creation, of a new self, of a new resurrection body, of a new heart that will be free from sin and free from the desire to sin, and a new relationship with you. Keep us focused on that new self that is already alive in us and that is coming into its fullness even today. And so, Lord, help us to make that leap of faith. Help us, Lord, if that means serving someone else in our lives, if it means sacrificing a job opportunity, Lord, if it means sacrificing a respect or fame or money, Lord, show us what we need to sacrifice today so that we can represent you on the journey, Lord, so that we can be servants, Lord, not riding in glory, but revealing ourselves to the world as simple servants, ready to help and ready to serve. Lord, be with each person here. Bless this Essex congregation in their journey of faith as well. Show us, Lord, the bright hope that you have set ahead for us, and may we travel it together in Jesus' name. Amen.